This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And I would suggest that at some point you go to the website and look at some of the information that is there. And of course, this program can be re-listened to there, and there is a weekly meditation there. So if you get a pencil and a piece of paper out, you'll be able to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going back to Luke chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading from verse 35. You'll remember last time we had a Labor Day message dealing with the fact that the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And of course, we looked at that from the standpoint of the burden of sin and the fact that when we trust in Christ, we have our sins forgiven, our consciences cleared, we're justified with God, and we have a rest that man cannot provide. We have hope for eternity and a rest that man cannot provide. And I mentioned to you how that I had been dealing with a man who finally was able to tell me through John 3:36 that he had everlasting life. And he said when he finally came to the understanding that by trusting in Christ, you have a life from eternity for eternity and your sins are forgiven, he said, "There are things in my life that aren't bothering me anymore." He had been justified. His conscience had been cleared. But there's another aspect of salvation that we're going to look at today, because often when I am working with people and they are struggling with the issue of how to know for sure they're saved, when they finally accept in simple trusting faith the fact that God says Christ died for the ungodly, and when they see that they're the ungodly one, the first thing I often hear them say is, "Why didn't I see that before? Why didn't I understand that before?" is what they're saying. And so we're going to look today at a blind man in Luke chapter 18 who receives his sight. And as we look at the blind man, we're going to see that the Lord not only physically heals a man who was physically blind, but he's giving us instruction about spiritual blindness and having our spiritual eyes open to the truth of Scripture. In the Bible, we find out that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But again, we also find out that by faith we understand. So faith is what brings us into relationship with God, and when we are willing to accept what God says by faith, things seem clear, things seem understandable. And as I said, the statement that I often hear from people who come to faith is, "Why, that is so simple. Why didn't I see that before?" So we want to read from Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. It says there, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho," coming near Jericho, "a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David." Notice he doesn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. And they wanted him to be quiet. He was embarrassing them. And he cried so much the more, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, if I were to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we would read in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." So when we look at this passage in Luke, we're seeing the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 being carried out, because we are by nature blind. We are by nature lost. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So when we look at Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you'll remember that when he came to the Lord, he came to him thinking that they were both teachers and that the Lord could explain a few things to him. But remember, the Lord said to him, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? He was spiritually blind. He did not understand the difference between a physical birth and a spiritual birth. He didn't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just a teacher come from God, but he was God himself manifest in the flesh. And so he had to have his eyes opened, and the Lord opened his eyes through an Old Testament illustration found in Numbers 21. And he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it seems as though Nicodemus understood for the first time why the Lord had had a serpent lifted up in the wilderness, and that this prefigured what the Lord Jesus would do in dying for us at the cross of Calvary. Nicodemus was blind. And so as we look at this matter of being blind, it's interesting to me that many people sing Amazing Grace, and yet they don't believe what they're singing, because in Amazing Grace, it says, I once was blind, but now I see, was lost, but now am found. And in the Bible, we're blind before we see, we're lost before we're found, and it is the lost that the Lord came to seek and to save. And I talk to many people today who are not willing to accept the fact that it's only the lost that are saved. And I know in my own case, I remember thinking I believed the gospel, but I couldn't say I was saved. And one day I found out that I believed all about the gospel, but I had never trusted in Christ. And I think there's a lot of people like that today that have been taught how to act as Christians, but they've never themselves truly repented and believed and just rested in simple trusting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this man, this blind man, who heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by, he was told that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Now I pointed out that he didn't, that they say Jesus of Nazareth, but when he addresses the Lord, he says, Jesus, thou son of David. Now that's interesting to me, because Jesus of Nazareth identified the Lord as a man. And normally, it identified him as a rejected man, as a man that the people did not accept. Nazareth was not the town that a king should come from, but it was where he grew up. So when they say Jesus of Nazareth, we're looking at the man. But when this blind man says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, it shows that he has already gotten a hold of the fact that this isn't just Jesus of Nazareth. This is the one who can trace his lineage back to David, and I believe he realizes that this is the one who is to be the Messiah. Now, he may not have understood about the suffering of the Savior before the reigning of the Savior. He may not have understood all of that, but I believe that statement, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, indicates that he had already gotten an understanding of who the Lord was that the crowd did not have. Now, how many times do you suppose he was going to have opportunity to ask the Lord to open his eyes? Well, I don't think that probably he figured he'd ever have another opportunity. Now, it's interesting that in our lives, particularly in the United States, we hear the gospel over and over and over again. And we have opportunity over and over and over again to accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But from the standpoint of this man getting his eyes opened, he had just one opportunity to get that job done. And so he wasn't going to let the crowd stand in his way. They wanted him to be quiet. He was probably an embarrassment to the people there, because he was no doubt a beggar. He was, well, it says, that he was sitting by the wayside begging, and so he was like a homeless person, and likely he was an embarrassment to them, and they wanted him to be quiet. But he wasn't about to be quiet, because this was his opportunity. He knew what he wanted, and he went after it. And I often wonder about people who are so casual about God's salvation and think that if they ever decide they want to turn to Christ and be saved, that they'll have time enough later on in life, or something will happen that'll make it convenient. But you know, there's never a convenient season to trust in Christ. There was a man in the Acts of the Apostles who said, "When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And he was talking to Paul. And he never, as far as we know, had a convenient season to come to Christ. This man knew that the Lord was passing by and that that might never happen again. And so he made sure that he got the Lord's attention. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he had confidence that the Lord was able to do what he wanted. And the Lord then stopped, knowing the answer to this question. He says, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." If the Lord were to ask you today what you wanted him to do for you, what would you say? Would you say, "I want $1 million? I want a mansion? I want a house by a lake?" Or would you say, "I want to be sure my sins are forgiven and I can have a home in heaven"? This man, he wanted his sight restored to him, and I really believe that he had already come to faith in Christ, but I can't prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But he had already seen the value in the Lord Jesus, who was the Son of David, and now he wants to receive his sight, and the Lord says, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And I'm personally convinced that two things had happened. One, a man had received his sight, and I believe probably before he had received his physical sight, he had already come to faith in the Lord and had his spiritual sight given to him as well. He received his sight, and the evidence that he was a believer in the Lord was that he followed him glorifying God. He followed him. He didn't glorify himself. He glorified God. And obviously he was glorifying the Lord Jesus, so he saw the Lord Jesus as God. And he had an effect on all those people that were trying to keep him quiet. When they saw what had happened, they gave praise unto God. I wonder how many of them saw it and gave praise unto God as a result of their faith in the Lord Jesus, and how many of them just saw a great miracle and praised God for that, never realizing the value of the Lord Jesus in being able to open their spiritual eyes. I trust that you've come to an understanding that Christ died for your sins. Our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We just commit the message to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.